Well, if you were at the Veterans Day program, you may have got an inkling, and if you listened much to Children's Time, you certainly got an inkling that I have a certain affection for Mr. Rogers. He was a very important part of my childhood. Now, I think if I remember right, when I was growing up, Nebraska Public Television would show episodes of Mr. Rogers at least twice and possibly three times a day. I know for sure he was on at breakfast time and at lunchtime, because that's generally when I would watch episodes, Monday through Friday, like clockwork. Now, as a toddler and a preschooler, I rarely missed an episode. I loved almost everything about his show, from Mr. Rogers' calm and loving demeanor, to the little songs that he would sing, to the visitors that would show up from time to time, and even the puppets in the land of make-believe. Okay, the puppets were a little creepy, but I still loved them. Looking back now, all of these years later, I can definitely see the positive impact that Mr. Rogers had on my life. As a kid who felt like a little bit of an outsider, a bit of a nerd, a little bit of a loner, growing up in a family where not only mom and dad, but grandpa and grandma fought often and loudly, and all of this taking place during the 1970s and the stress that was present in those years during that recession, I needed the calm, the love, the positive messages, the safety that Mr. Rogers provided. As a teenager and a young adult, I don't think I could have told you exactly what Mr. Rogers taught or said in the days before YouTube, where we could just look it all up. I probably would not have pointed to that show as a formative part of my youth. I would only have told you how much I loved Mr. Rogers. And I still love Mr. Rogers. Now, I'm sure many of you know, but I didn't learn until just a few years ago that Mr. Rogers was an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church. So maybe it was the love of God that I sensed through all of those hours in front of my television set. But maybe I think what I really sensed was a person who embodied loving others. Mr. Rogers just simply exuded love in all that he did and said and sang on that show. Now, in the work of John Wesley that we've been discussing, the character of a Methodist, John Wesley had this to say about loving others. I've modernized the language a little bit. He said, "A Methodist heart is full of love for all humankind, every child of the Father of us all. That someone is not personally known to them is no bar to their love. No, neither is the one who is known to be a person whose behavior cannot be approved of, or one that returns hatred for the Methodist's goodwill. For a Methodist loves their enemies, and even the enemies of God, those who are evil or unthankful. And if it is not in our power to do good to those who hate us, yet we do not cease to pray for them, even though they continue to spurn our love and still despitefully use us and persecute us." Our charge from Christ, as told to us through John Wesley, is to love all, not just our friends and our families, but also those who treat us poorly, even those who we consider our enemy. We love, firstly, because that is what God asks of us. It is an act of obedience to God to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, once when I was leading a Bible study on a passage that talked about loving others, I had a parishioner tell me, "Do you know, Pastor, some people are just unlovable." He was adamant that there was no way on earth he could or would love some people. Discussion naturally led to the worst of the worst. ISIS, Hitler. How do we love the worst of the worst? Well, I'll tell you what I wish I had told him. God doesn't give us an out. God doesn't say, just love those who are nice to you. He doesn't say, love those who love you back. He doesn't say, love all of them except. He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. God is crystal clear in his command that we are to love all. And if we refuse to even try, then we are saying no to God. We are directly disobeying God. We are saying, in effect, that we know better than God. But if we are truly rooted in our love of God, if God's love flows through our veins just as surely as does our blood, then we cannot help but love others. It'll be as natural as breathing. Because we don't have to rely on our own strength and our own goodness to love others. We love out of gratitude for God, out of the abundance of love that we have been given by God. We love because that is the response that should come out of those who have received love. Are all people lovable? No. Absolutely not. Are all people even likable? No. Doesn't matter. God says, love them as you love yourself. Give them the grace you would want to receive. I want to tell you something that I learned from Mr. Rogers. Even though at first glance someone may seem bad or mean or evil, that doesn't mean that deep down they really are. Everyone, no matter who they are, has something that is lovable within them. In the church, we would say that everyone bears the image of God, God who created them. Everyone is of worth because God says so. Everyone is lovable, no matter how they act or what they say or think, because God took the time to lovingly create them. Love, for me at least, is definitely easier one-on-one, face-to-face, than it is from a distance, at least most of the time. Because at its core, love is a relationship. Mr. Rogers said this. Andrea, would you go to the first picture? I know it's a little hard to read. It says, love is at the root of everything. All learning, all parenting, all relationships. Love or the lack of it. Love is at the core of everything. Love or the lack of it. And Mr. Rogers went on to talk about love this way. Can we go to the second picture? He says, love isn't a state of perfect caring. It's an active noun like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is, here and now. It's not a state of perfect caring. Hallelujah. Praise be. We don't have to get it perfect. Love isn't perfect. I love how he describes it as an active noun like struggle. Love is a choice. It is a decision that we make in every interaction we have with everyone every single day. Think about our lives and the things that we struggle with. A preschooler struggles to tie their shoes. Why? Because life is going to be easier and better if they know how to tie them, because they're going to have to wear shoes. Sorry, Robert. All of their lives. I know. My friend Robert is here today, and he would rather not ever wear shoes, but he lives in Minnesota, so he's got to sometimes. Teens struggle through the ups and downs of high school because life is easier and better with a high school diploma. It's easier to get a job. Young adults struggle to build the skills necessary to establish themselves in a career because life is better with a job that you love and are good at and that you can support your family with. We struggle with things in life, big things and little things. We struggle to make things better, easier, more comfortable, more enjoyable. And yet sometimes we think that love is just supposed to be easy, that it's just supposed to happen naturally. The fairy tales tell us that people fall in love and then immediately live happily ever after. Well, if you've been married longer than 5 minutes, you know that is a fairy tale. love is sometimes a struggle. We have to stick with it. We have to decide to keep pursuing it because life is better with love in it. Not just love in a marriage, but any kind of love. We all need to be loved. And as I said before, we are called to love others. And again, Mr. Rogers has a quote for us. Let's go to the next one. He says, "Everyone longs to be loved. And the greatest thing that we can do is let people know that they are loved and capable of loving." That they are loved and that they are capable of loving. You know, it's coming close to the time of year when all the Christmas specials are going to start popping up on TV. One of our family's favorites is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Any fans of The Grinch? Thank you, Nell. Apparently it's the Wetzels and the Apleys who like The Grinch. Okay. Well, my favorite part of that show is at the end. The Grinch has stolen everything that he can of Christmas from Whoville. He has loaded up their trees, their stockings, their presents, their food, anything that could possibly remind them of Christmas, and he's loaded it up, and he's hauled it up the mountain. And about that time, Christmas morning breaks, and the Whos all come rushing out of their houses to hold hands and start singing without ornaments. Without stockings, without presents. And all the Grinch can do is stand there and watch and listen as they sing. And he understands something in that moment. He understands that what is important was the love that the Whos had for one another. That they showed to one another. It wasn't about the material things of Christmas. It was love. And in that moment, the Grinch's life was forever changed. His heart grew 3 sizes that day. Even the mean, old, lonely old Grinch longed to be loved, and he needed to know that he was capable of loving. And when he saw the love in the Whos, that is what he realized about himself. If even the Grinch can be changed by love, who could resist the power of love? So how do we go about loving the Grinches of this world? The grumps, the mean ones, the downright evil ones. Once again, Mr. Rogers shows us the way.
There are many ways to say I love you. There are many ways to say I care about you. Many ways, many ways, many ways to say I love you. There's the telling way to say I love you. There's the telling something someone really likes to be. Say I love you. Hanging up a coat before you're asked to do it. Drawing special pictures for the holidays. And making plans. You'll find many ways to say I love you. You'll find many ways to understand what love is. Many ways, many ways, many ways to say I love you. You'll find many ways, sure.
There are many ways to show our love for others. And our scripture reading from Colossians spelled it out for us. To love others means to be compassionate, to be kind, humble, meek, and patient. Love means that we bear with one another in good times and in bad. and we must forgive each other just as the Lord has forgiven us. We must be people of peace, remembering that we are all children of God. And we must remember that we do this as we do all things out of gratitude to God, our Creator, our Savior, and our Sustainer. There are many ways to do those things. Working for justice for all people everywhere. Wanting to ensure that all people have their basic needs met, not just food and clothing and shelter, but love. Love that speaks to their hearts. So friends, let us not just love one another, but let us love all of God's beloved children. Amen.